All right. Again, this is part of the series that we are basing it off of John Piper's book, The Passion of the Christ, 50 Reasons Why He Died. It changed the title, so. Anyway, if you Google it, it's on there. Again, if you want a copy, so far two people have asked me for a hard copy. I have a digital copy, which is free from John Piper's website. So if you want it, let me know, and I'll give you the link. But if you want a hard copy, then let me know. Once I have enough people, then I can just go get like in bulk, and it saves our church a bit of money. So in any case, today we're looking at the cross in terms of what it does with our faith. Okay, so two main ideas or main lessons that we want to look at. Okay, which is first one. Firstly, okay, and this is covered by Jeremiah 31, and it says, and the first lesson is this: through Christ, God makes real faith possible. Okay, and notice how in Jeremiah 31, okay, 31, verses 31 and 32, actually the whole passage 33, God compares and contrasts the old covenant and the new covenant. Okay? He's like, this is the old covenant. The new covenant that's coming is not going to be like the old covenant. Okay? And there are a few things that God points out, which in the new covenant, it will be a little bit different. For example, it says, verse 33, God says, this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. Okay. This is a direct contrast to the old covenant, which was, which is mainly revolving around the covenant with Moses at Sinai. Okay. And notice how God says, the new covenant, I'm going to write my law on your hearts. The old covenant, God wrote his law on stone. Okay? You see that? John Piper said it like this. The old covenant, okay, that God refers to. The old covenant refers to the arrangement God established with Israel in the law of Moses. Its weakness was that it was not accompanied by spiritual transformation. Therefore, it was not obeyed and did not bring life. Okay. So basically, the old covenant or the old law of God, okay, it's a good thing, right? Because basically God says, I am holy, you're my people, and in order for you to be my people, these are the rules that you live by. Okay, makes sense, right? Because he's the king, he sets the rules. Okay, problem is, the old law, as John Piper is talking about, and Jeremiah is talking about, it never gets to the heart of the matter. It never comes inside. It just addresses the outside, right? There's something needs to happen on the inside for the outside to occur, right? For example, the best example that I could think of right now, right, is if I tell my brother to wash my car. He might do it. Actually, knowing Peter, he'll just take it to the local car, the local gas station, and do the $10 car wash. Not because he wants to necessarily, just because he has to. Or he might just be like, oh, I'm not going to do it, right, and just leave. Okay? Valerie says, hey, wash my car. Okay? Peter's going to take her car, hopefully, to the nicest car wash around the area. Right? And he might even take it to like the $35 hand wash car wash joint, right? Just because there is a difference. It's a little messed up, but there's a difference, right? And it's kind of the same way. So the old covenant with Moses, it's like they see God as king, but they don't see him. Israel doesn't yet really see him as anything else. They see him as king. They see him as loving. And they see him as savior from Egypt. But they don't see really, they don't see God really becoming any kind of individual reality. Okay? So they just see God as someone who's high above and tells them what to do, but they don't really see why. Right? I mean, they kind of get it in their minds, but it doesn't go into their hearts. All right? And so the old covenant, the old law, however, there's a lot of different ways that the New Testament describes it. It was powerless to change anyone. Right? And as Paul describes it, the law of God, instead of encouraging us to obey God, it encouraged sin. Okay, if you read through the book of Galatians, it says that that law of God is good. What happens is we also have a sin problem. And so what sin does, capital S, sin does, is it takes the law of God and it twists it and it makes it into an instrument of death. Okay? This is why in Colossians, Paul says, the only thing the devil really needs to convict us in front of God is the Bible. Okay? And so so sin had taken the law of God, which is a good thing, twisted it, and made it into what Paul describes as an impossible list of demands that we have to follow. But Paul says it beats you up because no matter how hard you try, you can't do it. You can't do it. All right? And so the Old Testament written on stone was all about the outward obedience. What was necessary was a new heart, an inward obedience that produces the outward action. And so this leads to the second lesson, covered mainly in chapter 32, right? That through Christ, God makes everlasting faith possible. Okay? And so the first lesson is that the cross, number one, makes faith possible, makes relationship possible. Okay? This is that new covenant, right? Jesus said on the night before he was betrayed, he said the first time he does communion with the apostles or the disciples, he says, hey, he takes the wine, right? He says, this represents the blood of the new covenant. Okay? Right? And so through the new covenant, he makes faith possible, this inward faith possible. Right? And just like the song says, from the inside out, that's what is necessary. Right? We will never really obey God, nor will we even desire to obey God, unless there is an inward heart change. Okay? As one pastor once said, as much as we'd like to try, you can never make an apple tree grow oranges. Apple trees will always grow apples. Okay? What you need is a whole other thing, right? So the second lesson, through Christ, God makes everlasting faith possible. So if the first lesson is that God, through Christ, makes faith possible and obedience possible, okay? The second lesson is that our faith will not fail. Okay? And this is one of the most overlooked, understudied, and misunderstood aspect of the Christian life. Because I've met many people from outside the church and even inside this church, inside this room, you guys struggle with the idea that in some way, man, if I messed up bad or whatever the expression is. And you have this fear that God will somehow reject you or God looks at you in a different light. Okay. The cross is way too powerful for that. John Piper says it like this. The miracle of the cross is not only the creation of faith, but the securing of our faithfulness. When Christ died, he secured for his people not only new hearts, but new security. Okay? So the first lesson is that on the cross, Jesus secured faith. made faith possible, real faith, okay? Second lesson is that this faith is not going to die. It's not going to get taken away. It's not going to get stolen or even fade, right? It's because, mainly because, right, this faith is based on what happened on the cross and not what happens to me or the stupid stuff that I do, right? Because if we look at, for example, Galatians 2:20, right? I'm telling you, this is the reason why y'all need to memorize it. Galatians 2:20. I'm telling you, just break it up into three parts and you can do it. All right? All right? I have been what? I have been crucified with Christ. Now I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Okay? Now, if you break down that passage, okay, what you see is Paul says his faith is not based on his actions, how many sermons he preached, how many people he healed, how many churches he planted, or, well, this is another one, his faith is also not based on the fact that he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. That's a big one. Okay, and I tried to tell you guys this lesson from the get-go, from ever since I got here, right? You are not a Christian because, at this summer retreat I got saved, or I got baptized on this date, or whatever. You are saved, according to Paul, because the cross happened. And because the cross happened, that's a historical fact. Okay? That means that God saves you based on the cross, not based on what we do, okay? Therefore, however many mistakes we make, right? It doesn't change because our faith is based on Christ, not on our actions. Okay, again, but at the same time, this is not to say, oh yeah, so now that because, you know, of Jesus, you can do whatever you want. Okay, the Bible never says that at all. Right? Because the Bible says, if you are saved by Christ, right, God gives you new faith, true, right, and this new faithfulness, right, and this new faith, new faithfulness, it keeps us from disobedience. It doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect, but it also means that, you know what, when we make mistakes, we know about it, right? When we make mistakes, when we turn away from God, we have good spiritual guilt. Right, John Piper in a message one time said, the conscience and guilty feeling is to the soul what pain is to the body. Right, when you put your hand on the fire or something hot, right, you're like, oh, it's hot, right? Because your body knows, okay, that's not a good place to be. Right, so that when we sin against God and we have this guilt, right, it's like a spiritual pain sensor, like, oh, okay, this is not where you need to be. Okay. And so, with all of that, okay, through Christ, okay, not only do we now have faith, but people like Hunter can not only just believe in God and trust in Jesus, but because of Jesus, he keeps Hunter faithful, right? And notice how, if you look at Jeremiah 32, right, the passage there, notice all the verbs and the pronouns. Okay, the verbs and the pronouns, if you break it down real quick, it's basically this. I will put, I will write, I will be, I will give, I will make. Right? God says, this is going to happen because I will put, I will write, I will be, I will give, I will make. Right? Notice how none of that part is based on what you will do. Right? This new covenant is based on what God will do, right? And God has done in Christ. And so this gospel is, and this lesson, this is good news to people like me. I don't know about you, but people like me, it's good news. Because even as a leader, there are many times where faith is hard. You might be like, oh, Johnny and Sam, they never struggle with, you know. No, no, no. One of the reasons why we can stand in front of you guys and teach you guys, or dare to teach you guys, is because God has kind of taken us, you know, through hardships to, you know, help us grow. But it doesn't mean that, you know, not since we're up here, doesn't mean we go through it anymore. No, no, no. Right? And I'll give you one personal example. We're trying to buy this house, condo. From a human perspective, from even our perspective, our lenders and the banks and all the people involved, it shouldn't work. The math shouldn't add up. And every step of the process, there's always something. A new fee, a new problem, a new this or that, or this or that. You know? And there are so many times where Peggy and I were like, man, is this something that, you know? Is this something that shouldn't happen? Does God really want us to do this? You know? And in the process, in that every step of that process, God still, it's hard, right? And we have this crisis of faith kind of thing where we're like, oh man, I don't know if God really wants us to have this place. And then God will, within about 24, 48 hours, will come with an answer and go, hey, here it is, right? But it's a struggle. So many times where God, we're pinging our like, man, is this what we need to do? This is difficult. There are so many times where we've literally looked at each other and said, this is hard. Because I don't know how God's going to pull this off. Literally, those were the words. I don't know how God's going to provide. I don't know how he's going to make this possible. The only way we got through it was we prayed together and we just reminded each other of the gospel. So you know what? God provided for us Christ when we had no hope and no options. God's going to get us through this. God got us through, engagement, wedding prep, you know, first couple years of marriage, baby, he's going to help us through, right? And, you know, and at the end of the day, we were like, you know what, if whether God wants us to have this place or not, we're still going to trust him. You're going to follow him, right? And these are the moments, right? This lesson that God gives us, not just faith, but faithfulness, these are the there are times in your life of faith where you literally you have in from your perspective enough faith for you the next 30 minutes. You say, God, I've got enough for about 30 minutes. After that, man, I'm going to be in a crisis. You know? And you're fighting for every step because you're faced with a situation. You're like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't even know from my perspective how it is that you're going to walk me through it and I'm going to come out of this alive and with my faith intact. And so this is why the cross is important. Because through the cross we see not just faith, but that through the cross, God keeps us faithful. Right? As Jesus once promised, that all who come to me, I will not lose. That's a very, very important lesson that I got to tell myself. Right? The Bible always says, preach the gospel to yourself every day. That's a huge lesson. You all got to do it. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. And this is one lesson that I learned this week, as I was going through that whole process of, you know, buying the home and prepping the message, right? That the cross, you know, especially in those hard times, it gives you fuel. Those moments where you gotta fight for it, you know, this is why I say, guys, be careful when you pray to God, God, give me faith or help me to trust you more, right? Because he's gonna put you in a situation where trusting in God is, if you ever say trusting in God is easy, it's because you've never been through a hard trial. You've never been through a hardship. Trusting in God is a theory or a doctrine that you think about or that you read about. Trusting in God is so much more real, nitty-gritty, in-your-face, and even ugly and hard when you actually go through it. But that is an important aspect of the Christian life. So that the lesson here is, through the cross, God makes that kind of faith possible. To trust in Him to save us, and to trust in Him to keep us faithful every day, every moment, every minute. Because there were times, I'm going to tell you guys straight up, in the last 2.5 weeks, that literally it was like, man, God, this is hard. This is hard. You know? And so it is Christ who saves, and it is Christ who secures. Practical application is, number one, just trust. Trust. Right? This whole idea of, oh, you need to believe in God, it's good. But I think we use that phrase so much that it's lost its real power. According to the Bible, to believe in God means to ultimately to trust in Him. Right? And so the only real practical lesson from today is to trust in Him. Trust Him. Because if you are a real follower of Christ, there will come many days where it's going to be difficult and you got to fight. You got to fight for your faith for the next 5 minutes, for the next minute. I've heard about stories where addicts, right, whether it be alcohol or drugs, they're fighting for their faith by minute. You know, I heard stories where they're literally praying, God, you know what, I really want another drink right now, but I'm gonna trust you for the next minute that you're going to get me through this, you know. I heard stories about druggies. They really want to go get some more. No, God, I'm going to trust you right now for the next 30 minutes to keep me legit, keep me clean. Right? This is what the cross does. This is what the cross is. This is what it does for us. Let's pray.